A very good, pleasant afternoon. We are so honored to be able to be of assistance to you as you are seeking after what God wants and His will in your life. We are thrilled today, February 21st, to be able to share with you from God's Word as we let the Bible speak. So are you ready? Ready for your questions? First of all, we want you to know that you are welcome to call us right now. The lines are open. You can call us at 308-9564. That is the voice line. And we are have both lines ready to receive your call. And if by chance you call and there is someone else that run right ahead of you, then just let it run, let it ring until we can get to you. Either way, we are looking forward to your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. This program is called Let the Bible Speak, and that's exactly what we want to occur. Now, that is the voice line, 308-9564. There is another way to communicate with us. If you'd rather, if you have a cell phone, you can text us at, again, all of our numbers are area code 843, and the text line is 725-9283, 725-9283, and you can text in your question right now. Either way, we look forward to your question, and hopefully we'll be able to go and give you a book, chapter, and verse answer. Why? Because you don't want to hear what we have to think, what we believe, what we have thought. All that matters is what God says, and thus we will direct you directly to the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness there. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, it says, through the knowledge of Him who called us, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So where else can we go but to the Word, to the Lord, and find the answer directly from His Word? So now is your chance. Go ahead and call 308-9564. This is a free service. We are glad to be of service to you. And we want you to know that everything that we offer during this next hour and a half will be absolutely free. So don't miss out on getting your questions in right now. Now, also, we want you to know that this program is different than just about every other program in the Charleston area, at least that I am aware of. And what makes this different is that you ask the question, thus you set the topic and theme, but it is God that gives the answer. And so whatever question that is on your mind, if it deals with life and godliness, we're going to give you book, chapter, and verse answers. That way, when we stand before God one day, and yes, you will, I will, every one of us will stand before God and give an answer concerning our faith to Him one day. So when we stand before Him, there's going to be no surprises. He will point out what He expected of us, and it is up to us whether we have followed it or not, and thus the responsibility for such a behavior or such a manner of life will be on our responsibility. It is not God's responsibility. His Word directs us, and we must all in line with what He says. So now's your chance. You can call 308-9564, that is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Chuck?
308-9564 is the number to call us here at the station, 308-9564. We are delighted to have you here with us this afternoon. Want to let you know there are multiple ways that you can get in contact with us. We have a website of www.biblealone.com. It's www.biblealone.com is the website where we can listen to the broadcast live streaming if you would like. There's a button on there that you could click, and you can let other people know who are outside of the availability of listening to the broadcast. You can let them know that they can go on www.biblealone.com and listen to the program live streaming. There is a live streaming button that you can listen to. There's also a link there for you to be able to send your questions in through the website. That's an opportunity available to you. Ricky mentioned the text line we have available, 725-9283. 725-9283. We also have a Facebook page. The Facebook page that you could contact us is Low Country Church. Low Country, one word, and then church. And you can like that page on Facebook. And then after you like that page, you can send questions in on through the Facebook page as well. So we try to have many different opportunities for you to be able to get in contact with us, because we just want to make ourselves available to you. That is our honest desire. That's our honest prayer. We want to help you get to know God's word better, strengthen your relationship with God better, and be able to serve him better for yourself. You know, there's a situation between the church in Thessalonica and Paul, the apostle, where we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said there was the strong feeling that they had towards one another. And he specified that they, as him, Silas, and Timothy, that taught the gospel there to the church in Thessalonica to help them to come to know the truth and to help establish that church. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 that we were so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. That's what we are trying to do. That's the type of servitude that we are trying to show you. We are trying to give you our lives. We leave ourselves available to meet you outside of wherever you're comfortable at, or to be able to have ourselves open to Bible studies with the listening audience. If that's something that you would be interested in, please go ahead and call the 553-5157 number, 553-5157, and leave your information there on the message, after the message, and let us know, I would like to sit down together with a Bible study. And we will send one or two people out to you, and we will sit down and we will study God's word with you. We would love to see you face to face. If that's something that you'd be interested in, please go ahead and let that be known. But if you have a question, go ahead and call right now. The lines are available, and you can call in your question and have it sent in to us at 308-9564, 308-9564.
And don't hesitate to call that line, that is 553-5157, to not only request a Bible study in person, but also you can call it to enroll in a Bible correspondence course that you can take through the mail. It is absolutely free, so don't miss out on that. We will be glad to send it to you. Again, that number is 553-5157. Now, we have Melody calling in. Melody, thank you so much for listening today, and thank you so much for your question. She asked a question that I'm sure that a lot of people wonder about. It is a very simple question. It says, can God fix everything? Well, Melody, that's a really good question. Let me give you some verses to help you to know what God says concerning that. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, I mentioned already, through the knowledge of him, that is of Jesus Christ, that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, through God's word, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his will, we have all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Now, there's a lot of worldly things the Bible says that that he has nothing to do with at all. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So what it is that God can do is he can direct us in every good work, those things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, just because we've got all of that, those directions in God's word, does not mean somebody will not mess up and not follow that. And Jesus points that out too in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then the next verse is kind of an eye-opener, Melody. It says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And in your name done many wonders? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So, Melody, if in the process of practicing lawlessness that we get ourselves in trouble, well, that does not mean that we're going to all of a sudden get out of trouble. It is not a get-out-of-jail-free card when we start serving the Lord. But it is a way to go to heaven when we start serving the Lord. A friend by the name of Ricky, just like my name, was had committed several crimes, including murder, was on death row in Texas. He ended up becoming a Christian, but that didn't stop him from the punishment of his crime, and he was put to death. And so we need to make certain that we are not going to be thinking that serving the Lord is a way to get us out of the trouble that we have got ourselves into, whether it's financial trouble, crimes, and such like that. So, Melody, I hope that's helpful to you. Again, those verses are 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. It's time for us to tell you something about something that we want to give to you absolutely free. And I think there's more details about this than that you really need to investigate. And Ricardo's going to tell us about this. Ricardo, go right ahead.
Thank you, Ricky. You know, 2 Corinthians.
Okay, we're trying to get four, all straightened
chapter
out,
4, verse 4. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Is it possible that we may have been restricted from learning the whole truth? Could that lack of truth keep us from going to heaven? Would a court of law let us go free if we broke a law that we did not know about? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ricky stated earlier, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So should we allow ourselves to be prevented from learning what his law says? Should we let the evil one keep us from knowing God? No. Call right now, 553-5157. That's area code 843-553-5157 to enroll in a course of study through the mail, absolutely free. That's right. You will never be asked for any financial assistance. Everything we offer on this program is absolutely free. So put away your checkbooks. We don't want your tithe or your offerings. Rather, let us give you this priceless treasure that will never be destroyed or taken from you. Let us share with you the wealth that only God can give, the hope and peace that passes all comprehension. Let us help you discover the treasure God wants you to have in heaven. Call now, 843-553-5157 for a free Bible correspondence course. Did you know hell was not made for man, but for the devil and his angels? Jesus went to prepare a place for mankind in heaven, but it's our choice where we want to spend eternity. God is not going to force any of us into heaven. The devil is real. He is called the God of this world, deceiver of the whole world, and described as cunning. He's been very busy. What if, by his efforts, you have been made to believe that you're saved and that you have a right relationship with God, yet the Bible says you are still outside of Christ and still in your sins? Wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to know whether or not you are for sure heaven bound? Why live with questions in your heart? Seek the truth and know God's will for you. Why not choose to learn the truth and where you stand before God before you leave this life? Because truth is, you will leave this life. Why not let God show us the way and know the truth, why we can correct our path so we can walk in his way? How many times have we missed an opportunity to get our lives straightened out? Don't miss that opportunity again. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If we miss heaven, we have lost everything. Call now, 843-553-5157, and enroll in this free Bible course and let God take control of your life. Again, that number is 843-553-5157. Call now.
And we're serious about that. We hope and pray that that will be a motivation for you to let's break the mold that the world has given us, and let's find out what God desires of us. So do that. Call 553-5157. Thank you, Ricardo. Chuck, I believe you have the next question.
We sure do. Julian calls in this question. Julian, we appreciate you listening to the program, and thank you for calling in your question. Julia's question has something to do, I'm assuming, with yesterday's events as far as the voting goes. He says, does the Bible say we have to vote and who to vote for? Well, no, Julian, it sure doesn't. There's a couple of passages that I'm going to give you concerning the Christian's attitude towards government and what God expects the attitude we're supposed to have towards government. Those passages are 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. And Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. I'm not going to go in a whole lot of detail on those passages. I'm just going to kind of give them to you. What I will say is that a lot of times there's things that we allow to divide us, and things that we allow to, there's kind of bicker and go back and forth on. And far too often, politics is one of those things that we allow to divide us. So just we need to be aware of those things. We do have a government for a reason, and it is set up for a reason. But we as followers of Christ, we must be very careful in our attitudes towards government. People who are in those governing officials, we need to be very careful with our attitude towards them concerning political party and affiliation and who we like and don't like. And especially when we're a child of God, if we don't like a particular candidate or a particular person in a position of authority in the government, we should be very careful of the things we allow ourselves to say and do in terms of their office. So we should respect that office. And so those passages there, Romans 13, 1 through 10, and 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, will help you with that. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564. Ricky?
Or if you'd rather, you can text us. Our text line is area code 843-725-9283, 725-9283. That is the text line if you'd rather text in your question. Again, we want to thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. We also have Mike calling in this question. Mike, thank you so much for your desire to know what God's Word says. And this is, of course, a very frequent question here to this radio program, because it is a very evident problem here in the Charleston area, and in which there is a couple of passages of Scriptures that are totally not applied. And so, Mike, we appreciate your question. Here's his question, ladies and gentlemen. His question is, does the Bible speak on women leading churches? Well, yes, it does. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning with verse 34, actually, the whole chapter is dealing with guidelines of behavior when we are together, coming together for worship. There's a number of things that are said there, including for men. Men are to keep quiet under certain circumstances. But when you get to verse 34, it does address women, and it says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are to be submissive, as also says the law. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. He goes on to say, or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it only that you that only that it reached I lost my place here. If anyone thinks to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord, which lets us know this was not a Corinth thing. This was something that was across the board, that it was the commandment of the Lord. And so there's a number of guidelines there, including men were to speak, and then it was supposed to be one speaking each in turn, verse 27. And so there were several things. So as far as leadership, it certainly brings out that they were not to even be speaking out in the assembly. So you cannot lead an assembly unless you're speaking out, and so that would be something that would be a prohibition. And there's reason for that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, he says, in like manner that, well, let me start with the verse under consideration. Verse 11 says, let a woman learn in silence and all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve to make application, and that was the reason for it. God expects man to be the one out front and the one that the devil will attack instead of the woman being out front. It didn't work well in the Garden of Eden, and it still doesn't work well today. And so we need to make certain that we respect God's wishes on that. And by the way, men, remember this. God put you, the one, to be out front for those vicious attacks of the devil. You're to be protecting women, and that is the way that God ordained it. And thus, we need to make certain that we respect that and not be adding to his word. So that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 through 37, to answer your question, Mike. Thank you. I hope that's been helpful to you. And by the way, we didn't even talk about pastors. Is that what you're going
to
mention?
Well, no, Ricky, I had a question. So the entire first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians, the entire letter was written because the church was doing things wrong. Is that right?
It seems to be the first part of that book, yes.
So it seems it does matter how you serve God. It seems to matter.
Yes.
Because if it didn't matter, would that first letter have been written to them?
Right, right, yeah. So it does address those things. And by the way, as far as pastors or overseers, bishops, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and Titus chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7, clearly bring out that those individuals that are going to function in those capacities, those are not positions of or entitlements or even rank, but those positions, those obligations, they're supposed to be the husband of one wife. Now, even a first grader can understand that. We are glad to address that, Mike. Thank you so much. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and you can call in your question right now, and we will go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. Or, if you'd rather text, you can text in your question to 725-9283.
You know, when you look at the book of Psalms, a lot of people know that King David wrote many of the Psalms. And if you really look through specifically Psalm 119, you see a complete and utter devotion and love for the words of God. If you look through Psalm 119, there's 176 verses, and they are just David pouring out his heart for his love and his devotion for the word of God. So that was the type of character David had. That was the type of person David had. And you know how he was described to God? Was in 1 Samuel in chapter 13 in verse 14. It says, but now your kingdom will not continue. This is talking to Saul, who was king at the time. He says, but now your kingdom will not continue. God has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And God has appointed him to be prince over his people because you have not kept the commandments that God has commanded you. That's what Saul was told about David. David was a man after God's own heart. That's 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And also that is repeated in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, talking about David calling him a man after God's own heart. That's how David was described. So when you read and when you study Psalms chapter 119 and you see his utter devotion and how serious he took the word of God and what he allowed it to mean to him and how he applied those things to his life, you see that is what God is looking for. When you're after God's heart like David was, you love his word. That is how you are going to be a person after God's own heart. We see that example in David, in King David. So, you know, let us be blessed like that, to be people after God's own heart and love his word. Ricardo's going to tell us a little bit about that and how you can grow more in being after God's own heart and really falling in love with the word of God. Ricardo.
You know, scripture says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I do not know for certain it's in the Bible, do I have my own faith? There are many things taught in churches that are not in God's word. Should we listen to such? Will there be consequences toward us if we are in fellowship with that wrong teaching? Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Would you like to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Should we not hold our spiritual instructors to the same standard that courts of law hold those who are testifying? Let's not be caught up in other people's behavior where we will be found guilty by association. Let's escape that circle of confusion and distraction away from God's truth and find the straight and narrow way that leads to life. Let's find the truth directly from the source of God's word. You know, if you would like to study and learn more about God's word, we want to give you this free Bible correspondence course. All you need to do is call 843-553-5157 to enroll. We'll get lesson one on its way to you right away. Again, that number is 843-553-5157. Go ahead and enroll and discover some vital information that has always been in God's word that you may have never heard before. Denominational sources cannot allow the whole truth to be taught because of doctrinal restrictions of their faith. Is it possible the God of this world, the devil, our enemy, has effectively blinded the spiritual leaders in order to keep the truth from getting out to the people? History is full of such examples. After all, was it not the spiritual leaders that delivered Jesus to be crucified? Again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. So should we not let God himself establish our faith as we study directly from his word and not man's word? Should we not let God speak to us through his word? Have you called that number yet? 843-553-5157. The result of such restricted teaching is that many who think they are safe and on their way to heaven may in fact still be lost in their sins. Ask yourself, have you ever read in your Bible about denominational divisions or denominational names? So shouldn't we let the Bible speak while we have a chance to correct our course to the straight and narrow path that Jesus revealed for us to walk in his word? Call that number. Start the course today. Maybe you would like for someone to come out and have a face-to-face Bible study with you. Call that number, 843-553-5157. If it's busy, hang up and call again in a few minutes. hit the redial button until you get through. I mean, is there anything else in life more important than making sure our soul gets to heaven? If you have any questions you want answered live from God's word, you still can call 843-308-9564. We have operators standing by that will take your questions. You can text 843-725-9283. Now is your chance to find what God has to say from his word as we let the Bible speak.
We are back. Thank you so much, Ricardo. We appreciate that. And we just want to let everyone know how devoted we are and devoted we try to be to helping you learn more of God's word. It is truly why we are here. There is no greater joy than seeing someone commit themselves to God and learning God's word and submitting to God's word and applying it to their lives, because that is the will of God. There's so many people out here who are searching for the meaning of life. They want to know why they are here. Why are they on this earth? You are on this earth to learn about God. In Acts, I believe it's Acts 17, he talks about Paul was teaching there, and he talks about that you should grope after God. You want to seek God, and you should be devoted to trying to find out more about God. That's why we're here on life. We can get busy with a lot of things, our jobs, our families, our schools, relationships, you know, travel, leisure, entertainment. There are so many things we can allow to take our time. If you are too busy to study God's word, you are entirely busier than God ever intended you to be. He wants you to focus on him. He wants you to give him your all, and you serve him through those aspects of your life. And so the Bible Correspondence Course is a really good tool to help you to be more straightforward with understanding God's word and to learn more. And so that's why we talk so much about the Bible Correspondence Course. That's why it's absolutely free. We don't want anything to hinder you in signing up for that Bible Correspondence Course, because we firmly, honestly believe it will be a great, great blessing to you to be able to grow in your relationship with God. And so that's why we continue to try to help you with that. And we want you to take that opportunity and sign up for that Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. But while we are here at the program now, we have the lines available that you can call in your question at 308-9564, 308-9564.
So don't miss out on getting the course to you. Again, that number to get that in the mail is 553-5157. And we will get that in the mail to you even this week. So don't miss out on that. Why turn down such a blessing as that? And so act on it now while we're on the air, 553-5157. We have a new texter calling in this question from the last four digits of 1451. And their question is, what does, quote, speak in tongues in the Bible, how does it apply to today's church? Well, very good question. We certainly want to take you right to the Bible as we let the Bible speak, and we urge you to either write this down for you to study later or turn to it right now. Acts chapter 2. This is the very first time tongue speaking is ever mentioned in the Bible. Tongue speaking as in a miraculous language that was given to people without them learning it. And thus in Acts chapter 2, and beginning with verse 4 is where we see the very first mention of it. It says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this was something the Holy Spirit enabled them to do, and the they, what modifies the word apostles, the last word in chapter 1. And so as we read on, we find out what those tongues were. It says there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when the sound, that is the sound mentioned in verse 2, when the sound occurred, a multitude came together and were confused because they heard them speak in his own language. Did you hear that? That was a man language, a language of man. Then they were all amazed and saying to one another, look, are not all these Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born. There again, not once but twice so far, we see this was a language of man. And then he mentions some of the languages of man, or at least the origins of some of these people on the day of Pentecost in verses 9, 10, and 11. The list goes on in verse 11. He says, Cretans, Arabs. Then the end of verse 11 says, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So there we see them speaking the language, the dialect, and even the message that was being spoken. So what is different from that and what we see going on today that people call tongues? Yes, that's exactly right. These in the Bible were languages of man. And matter of fact, later talked about it in 1 Corinthians 14. He says if you're going to speak in a tongue, that is one of these tongues, it must be done unto edifying so that they know what you are saying, not to confusion. And so there we can see to answer your question, the bottom line is, what's it mean to today's church? Well, it means that was done back then, that practice of speaking in tongues, as the Bible says, is not being practiced today. Oh, I know what you're saying. Oh, I've spoken tongues. Well, so have I, ladies and gentlemen. When I was caught up in that kind of church, it was an utterance, but it was not what the Bible says was tongues. That was languages of man, where there was a message being conveyed, the wonderful works of God. So I can't speak a language unless I learn it today, and neither can you. So we appreciate that question. Thank you so much. And so there's a big difference. Just look at Acts chapter 2. There's the origin of it. We got to speak as the Bible speaks. And that's what God says. Again, the number is 308-9564. If you want to call in and ask a question about that or some other question, you're welcome to do that. Or if you'd rather text us, as this question was, you can text to 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Chuck?
Yeah, we have Van calling in this question, and Van asks, if someone can appoint themselves to be a preacher or a church leader. There's a couple of passages I want to point you towards. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, this is talking about God. It says, and he himself, dramatic pause, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then it goes on and on and on. So it says God is the one who gives people to be in those positions, not people appointing themselves to be in those positions. And the reason why is because God knows the heart. God made you. God knows what you're best capable of and best equipped for. So he naturally is going to use you in his church if you're willing to let him, submit to him willing to let him. He is going to use you for the purpose that edifies the church, edifying the body of Christ. That's what it says in verse 12. So that's, once again, that's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Actually, 11 through 16. I just read 13, but 11 through 16. So you can read the rest of that yourself. But Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16, and also Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 in verse 28. Here's Paul writing to the elders in the church in Ephesus. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Key phrase. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. They didn't make themselves overseers of the Lord's church. They didn't make themselves elders of the church, bishops, pastors, whatever word you want to use. Overseers, elders, bishop, pastors, those words being interchangeable. If you look at that through the scriptures, they didn't give themselves that position. It says in verse 28 here in Acts chapter 20, the Holy Spirit made them overseers. How did the Holy Spirit make them overseers? First Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through about 17, I believe, and also Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. That's how the Holy Spirit made them overseers, because the Holy Spirit showed us and had people to write down, mainly Paul in those two examples. The Holy Spirit had Paul to write down what he wanted men to have, the type of qualifications, the type of character traits for them to possess in order to serve in the role of overseer, elder, bishop, pastor. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit is the one who makes them overseers. And he does that by people matching up to the word of God. Once again, that was 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. So it says here, once again, Acts chapter 20 and 28, the Holy Spirit makes them overseers. And then we saw Ephesians chapter 4. That God himself gave some to be those different, serve in those different roles. So, in short answer, no, someone shouldn't appoint themselves to be a preacher or a church leader, because at the end of the day, there's only one leader of the church, and that's Jesus Christ.
We want to say thank you for the question. We are so proud that you have a desire to know the truth. And that's Van, is that right?
Yeah.
And so we want to thank you so much for your question. You are to be commended, and we appreciate your interest in knowing what God's Word says. We do want you, Van, and all of you that have never enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, to consider doing that today. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. James 4 and verse 14 says, "What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a moment in time and then vanishes away." That's our life. So we do not know how quick we might be leaving this life. Are you ready for that? You might think, well, yes, I am. However, where did you get your instructions from? Did it come from a pulpit, from a denomination, from a doctrine that man wrote, or was it from exclusively the Word of God? We want to encourage you to find the answers in God's Word. Don't listen to man. Don't listen to what man has come up with. That will not get you anywhere. Whenever man comes up with something, then that is extra biblical. That is outside the Word of God that will lead us to eternal life with God. And that's why it is so important to find all the answers in God's Word. We do not know what's going to happen, and we've got a question coming up about that in just a little bit, but we want you to know that you can be prepared, but you can't be prepared unless you see what God's Word says on how to be prepared. So let's jump out of the box that the world and the religious world has created. Let us open our eyes that the devil may have put blinders on us with, so that we can see what God wants us to see. Go ahead, get the Bible course on its way to you today. All you have to do is call 553-5157, enroll in the course, and it will be sent to you. Ricardo, you've got more information about this?
Yes, sir. Let me just ask the audience real quick. How many religious programs or Bible-based programs do you know out there that do not ask for money? Right, not much. Many of you have told us that we are the only program that you have ever heard of that says, do not send us a contribution. We don't want your money. We don't want your tithes or your offering. There are some religious organizations or programs that will go through great length to get money for the free things of God. We don't want it. In fact, we want to send you precious, something more precious than silver and gold, and that is God's Word. Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for financial help, nor should we. Does that sound strange to you? Well, it is to the world, but not to God. We want to offer you something free. Again, it is free. You don't have to pay anything. No donations required. We won't ask for you to write a check. We want to send you Bible correspondence free of charge. All you have to do is call 843 553-5157 to receive that free Bible lesson. Did I mention that it was free? Just in case I did, I wanted to mention it again, that it is free. Real quick, we talked earlier about Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the scripture that says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." These individuals that would say to him, Lord, Lord, are the individuals today who call themselves Christians. Do you call yourself a Christian? How do you know that you are a true Christian? Have you obeyed God's word, or have you obeyed man's word? Have you done all that is required to receive salvation from God? Or have you done all that was required to receive salvation from man? You see, we have to obey God's recipe for salvation in order to receive his salvation. See, the moment I take away or add something to his ingredients for salvation, that moment, it no longer belongs to God. It is not his salvation that I'm receiving. How important is it that we follow all that God instructs us, especially concerning salvation? There's this passage of scripture in the book of 1 Samuel. We're studying 1 Samuel in our Bible classes on Wednesday, and it's a phenomenal book. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, I want to read this to you, and I want you to notice how even when God instructed Saul to do something very specific, and he failed in maybe one or two of the areas in which he was supposed to obey God, God was angry. He was upset that that Saul did not obey him in all that he commanded. 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says, "And Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Jump down to verse 7. "And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night." You see, it's very important that when God gives us specific instructions, that we do all that he commands. All that he commands. And the only way we can know what God commands is if we study his word. So call 843-553-5157 to receive your free Bible study in the mail. If you would like a face-to-face Bible study where we can show you in God's word what he would require of you, call that number, 843-553-5157. It's super important that we let the Bible speak.
Again, that course will be sent to you free of charge. It is absolutely free, and we are happy to be able to send it to you. So please just put away your money, put away your checkbooks. Do not send us your tithes and offerings. Do not even think about that. We are just happy to share with you the treasure that is in God's Word, 553-5157. And you can enroll in that course, and it will be sent in the mail to you absolutely free. 553-5157. It is a where you will get that in the mail. You'll take it, and you will fill it out. And then we will be glad to, when you send it back, we'll grade it and send the next lessons in the mail to you. And thus you will go back and forth in the mail as long as you desire. One more time, if you want that Bible correspondence course so that you can begin your journey of an eternity according to truth from God's word, not man's, we can't make it to heaven on man's word, not even our own. We've got to let him speak. His ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than our than the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 just makes that very clear. So get the course in the mail to you. Again, that number is 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call the radio station. The voice line is 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text in your question, as the next question is, then all you have to do is text to 725-9283.
We have a texter asking this question about Luke chapter 17, asking us to please explain what increase our faith means, said by the apostles in verse 5. And its connection with verses 7 through 10. So if we look at Luke chapter 17, we will see that in verse 5, the disciples, or the apostles, it said, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said to them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." What a lot of people take from this, from him answering that, is they think about having faith as a mustard seed. A lot of people think he's talking about just have a little bit of faith, a small amount of faith, because a mustard seed is very small. Well, sadly, that's not all there is to it. We can't just leave it at that. That is a very, very elementary understanding of the scriptures if we leave it at that. We have to understand really what he's talking about when he mentions having faith as a mustard seed. He is not talking about just have a small amount of faith. That's not what he's talking about. Let's prove that by going over to Luke chapter 13. If you look in Luke chapter 13, verse 18, we're going to understand what he means by faith as a mustard seed. He says in Luke chapter 13, verse 18, then he said, Jesus, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. That's what he's talking about when he says have a faith as a mustard seed. It starts small, but it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows and it becomes large enough. In this case, he's talking about the mustard seed. It starts small, grows big enough to become a large tree, so birds can actually make their home, make their nest in the branches of the tree. All that starting from a tiny little mustard seed. God expects us to grow our faith. He doesn't expect you to try to get him to grow your faith for you. That's what the apostles were asking him in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. They asked him to increase their faith, and he pretty much answered them, you increase your own faith. Now, there's another passage that we can go to show that we are supposed to grow our own faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and it goes on and on to verse 7. So he tells us that we're supposed to give all diligence to add to our faith. You are responsible for adding to your faith. God expects us to add to our faith. How do we do that? We get to know his word. We live by his word. And James chapter 2 helps us to understand more about faith and how we're supposed to add to our faith. If you look at James chapter 2 and verse 22, it's talking about Abraham. It says, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Your faith and your works must go together. The way you live and what you do should be based upon what you believe in, out of how you believe God's word and how you apply God's word to your life. The way you live, it is in response to you believing God's word. Romans 10:17, hearing come by the word of God. Faith come by hearing comes by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So that's what he's talking about there in Luke chapter 17. When he talks about the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith, he's telling them your faith starts small, but it's on your responsibility to grow your faith. Once again, that was Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. And then 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We really appreciate that question.
We just noticed on the computer that there was a number of you that tried to enroll in the Bible Correspondence course all at the same time. And if some of you got a busy signal, then you can hang up and just hit the redial and you'll be able to get through. The number, again, for the free Bible Correspondence course is 553-5157. So don't miss out on getting that. We are glad to be able to serve, to be able to share that with you. The riches of His grace can only be found and discovered in God's Word. So that's why we encourage you to get and study these things for yourself. You know, you've got your Bible. Everybody's got a Bible that wants one in the United States. And so why not find the treasure that's in it? Often told is a story about a mother sending her son off to college, and she gave him a brand new Bible, and she told her son, "Son, if you read this, you will discover a treasure." Well, after 4 years of college, he brought the Bible home. He didn't throw it away, but he had never opened it up. And then later on, the mother died, and he was kind of reminiscing. He started opening that Bible, and about every third page, he found a $100 bill. It was literally a treasure contained in that Bible that she had given him way back on his freshman year of college. So why not? I'm not saying there's $100 bills in your Bible. What I'm saying is there's something far more valuable there. Find the treasure, and we will be glad to help you to get into your Bible and be able to discover it right there in the pages of God's Word. Go ahead and call that number to get the course, 553-5157, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak through that Bible Correspondence course. We have Ricardo that's with us today, and we're so thankful that he's able to share with us why that you should be concerned with that Bible Correspondence course, and we're glad to be able to be of service in this. He's going to tell us a little bit more about the benefits of studying God's Word that way. And Nathan, stand by. We're going to get to your question right after this. His telling us about the course, and then we'll get to his question. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, here's his question. On what part of our body will it be going to heaven? Is it just our spirit? Okay. Nathan, we're going to be answering that question in just a moment. Ricardo, tell us why everyone should get this course in the mail to them.
Have you ever been driving down maybe Rivers Avenue or Dorchester Road and saw all these different churches? Have you ever asked yourself, why are there so many different churches? Why are there so many different religions? Church A does things this way, church B does things that way. Why is it that there's so many different things when we only have one Bible? When we look into the Bible, we see Jesus say, "I am the way, I am the truth." As he revealed in his word, the New Testament, he speaks of just one faith, the faith that comes by hearing God's word. Well, how is it possible that this one faith has many different churches? Well, that's because someone has decided to add or take away from God's Word. Mm. We want to send you this free Bible course so that you can see what God requires, what God says, how we should do church or his worship service. What does God say about salvation? How am I to receive salvation? Call that number, 843-553-5157, to start your lesson today. Because truth is, if you listen to me or Ricky or even Chuck, well, we might not get you to heaven. But if you listen to God, you are for sure guaranteed to spend eternal life with him. Speaking of eternal life, do you know that one day we will have to stand before him? And one day we will be rendered a judgment. Mm. We all will live forever, all of us. But the question is where? We have a part of us that is spirit that will live forever. And that question is actually is one of the questions Ricky has. He's going to answer it more. But if we're going to live forever, if our life can end at any given moment, should we not be prepared for the life to come? Should we not be prepared to spend the rest of our life with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you need to know what you have to do in order to prepare for that life. That's where God's word come into place. 843-553-5157 is where you can start. We'll send you the free course, and you'll be able to look into God's word and see exactly what he requires, exactly what he wants in order for you to spend eternity somewhere. I found out earlier today, a good friend of mine's passed away, and I couldn't help but think one day that'll be me, and I want to be prepared. Don't you? Death is for sure to knock on our door one day, and we all have to be prepared to stand before God on his terms. What is his terms? Well, he explains it to us. He outlines it in his word. 843-553-5157. We'll send that out to you today. And if you want a face-to-face Bible study, maybe you would rather someone sit and explain these scriptures to you, leave that on the voicemail, and we will make sure we come and study the Bible with you. You won't hear our opinions. You won't hear our thoughts. You will see and hear only God's word. Well, and it's up to you as to what you do with it. But we must always and forever let the Bible speak.
Yes, exactly right, Ricardo. We are so thrilled to be able to serve and to be able to give you what God wants for your life and to be able to, for you to be able to be, have that aha moment, that treasure when you pull out a precious jewel out of God's word. It is thrilling to see people to do that in person and to, but if you want to just study it in the privacy of your home, you can do that as well. And that the number to get that course in the mail to you is 553-5157. And by the way, do you know you can study this anytime you want? If you're a morning glory, you can get up in the morning and study God's word. Or if you're a night owl, then you can study it at that time as well. That's what's good about the correspondence course, is that you can take this and study it when you want to. Give God the best time of your life. So don't hesitate. Get it in the mail to you even tomorrow. That number, 553-5157. We have Nathan calling in this question. He wants to know, what part of our body will be going to heaven? Is it our spirit? Well, Nathan, I will direct you to the passage that answers that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 50, it says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption," that's talking about this body of ours, this flesh, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So, Nathan, I hope that helps you. There's going to be a change. We right now live in a carnal world, a physical world, that is running down and getting old, that is filled with not only births, but also deaths. And once we leave this corruptible life behind, none of that will be going on. It will be all eternal. It will be an eternal body, an incorruptible body that we will live in for eternity. Somewhere. Did you hear me? Somewhere. Every single one of us that's hearing my voice right now is going to spend eternity somewhere. The only way we can choose where to spend eternity is right now, here, while we live in this mortal body. That's the only time we have free will, a choice that we can choose. I want to choose heaven, don't you? I want to go and be in the place that God prepared for his people. He didn't prepare hell for people. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But many will choose to go there because they're only living for those things which are corruptible. So let's get the Bible Correspondence Course and learn how to make that choice. Again, that number is 553-5157. And you can learn what to do in order to make that choice to live the forever part of eternity with God. I can't wait. Aren't you ready for that as well? Well, then let's make certain that we're ready, because I'm telling you, there were a number of years I thought I was ready, and yet I did not know the truth. And so please go ahead and get the course to you, 553-5157, and it will be sent in the mail to you even this week. Chuck, you've got the next question.
Yes, we have Joe calling in this question about Romans chapter 8, verse 26, to please explain. Romans 8, 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, that verse, when you look at the context there of Romans chapter 8, we're seeing that the Spirit of God being one with our spirit, being in agreement, our spirit agreeing, God's Spirit agreeing with us. If you look back in verse 12, really this whole chapter kind of talks about it. Here, if you look back at the beginning of the chapter, it's kind of where the beginning of it is talking about, for the law of the Spirit in verse 2. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that was weak in the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And then when you go down to verse 6, he talks about for to be carnally minded or fleshly or earthly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God and is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And this passage continues to go on. And so the focus here, he's showing that the Spirit of God has to be in agreement with you, with your spirit. You have to be obedient to that. And that's why he's focuses on, he talks about the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. So the focus of the individual, kind of going back to what we mentioned earlier about the choice, you choosing heaven, choosing to do right, choosing to do God's will. That is intentional. That is intentional. That's something that you're going to do on purpose. And so being able to submit to God and your spirit being one with the spirit of God, because God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, shows himself through his word that he allowed to be written down. And that's the beauty of God allowing his word to be written down to show us so we could always go back to it and see what he expects us to do. If you look at verse 13, it says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." And so the Spirit of God, when we know God's word, we know what he expects from us and we know what pleases him. If you think about Psalms 37 and verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." You know, a lot of times people take that verse to mean, oh, he's going to give me a new job and a house and a car because those are the desires of my heart. And that's not what he's saying. When you delight yourself in the Lord, the things which you take pleasure in are a result of the things that God takes pleasure in. It's not that he just gives you the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart, they become the desires of God's heart. You love the things he loves: righteousness, peace, faith, love.
You know, it's a matter of just trying to remember who is master and who are servants. He's the master. So if we're going to be like the master, then obviously we're going to lose ourselves in who he is.
Yes. And so we die to ourselves every day and Christ lives more in us. So when we delight ourselves in the Lord, our desires become his desires. And that's the similarity that this passage here in Romans chapter 8 is talking about with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God shows us and reveals to us what God's will is. We can't know that in and of ourselves. We can't just automatically know what God expects from us. It is not within man to direct his own steps. That's somewhere in Proverbs. We can give you the reference a little bit later.
Proverbs 3 verse 5. 6, 7.
All right. See, that was quick. So we do not know in and of ourselves, mankind, the flesh. We don't know what God's will is. We need the Spirit of God to show us and reveal to us what his will is. And you know how he does that? He, in his grace and in his mercy that he has towards us, he allowed his will to be written down and contained throughout centuries, throughout millennia, 2 millennia to be exact, 2,000 years. He allowed his word to be contained for us to always go back to. So if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit inspiring those men to write these things down so we could keep God's word, we would not know what God's will is for ourselves. We have to go to God's word to find out what his will is for ourselves. We can't know it in and of ourselves.
Yeah, he preserved this word for us, for even though the Bible has been literally burned by mountains, there are mountains of Bible have been burned through the centuries, it still remains. We still have it. The devil and his influence has tried to snuff out the Bible over and over again. And even now we're seeing a concerted effort of that by several religions in the world. Please don't miss out on getting the blessing that only God, the God that created the universe, is the one that we are wanting to direct you to, not a man-made God, not a better felt than told God, not just an emotional feeling kind of God. It is the God of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's the God that we should be following after and seeking after, and as Chuck said earlier, groping after. The word grope, the idea is we are actually suffocating. If someone is holding our neck and we can't breathe, and then all of a sudden when we turn loose, we are groping for air. That's what we should be doing after God. Are you groping for God? Would you like to know how to be able to find that air that only God can give, the water of life that you are thirsting after? Let's get into his word. 553-5157. We'll be glad to send you this tool to help you to discover more about what our Creator intended for us to begin with. 553-5157.
Real quick, Ricky, that was Jeremiah 10:23, that verse I was alluding to. Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps.
Yeah, but trust in the Lord
and
is
lean
Proverbs
on
3 and verse 5.
It, yes. Yeah. So they both apply.
There we go. So we're going to tell you more about this correspondence course. It is so valuable to you. We have had many people say that. But the only way that we can remove the blinders that the devil has put on us is to get into his word. Is that right, Ricardo? Tell us all about that.
That is right. Again, that number is 843-553-5157. You may be wondering, why do we keep stressing this Bible this free Bible correspondence course? Why do we keep talking about it? Why do we keep telling you about it? Well, it's very simple, because there is nothing more important than your soul. We must desire the sincere milk of God's word so that we may grow. Grow into what? Grow into the knowledge of him. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I think it's interesting. Most of us, we do not miss meals. We do not go a day or days without eating. I love to eat. And so naturally, we constantly feed this body. What happens if we go days and days without eating? Yeah, we starve. And what happens if we starve? Well, we die. And likewise, our spirit man has to grow. And if it's not growing, then it's dying. And in order for our spirit man to grow, we have to feed it constantly. And that's where God's word come in. God's word is the food that we need to feed our spirit man. We eat breakfast. Well, we should be eating the breakfast of God's word. We eat lunch. We eat brunch. We eat dinner. Some of us eat midnight snacks. We need to eat just as often. No, I'm sorry. Even more of God's word on a daily base, because that's how we're going to grow as Christians. That number again is 843-553-5157. It's so important that you enroll in this free Bible course that we're going to send you. It is a course that tells you of God's word. You won't get our opinion. You won't get our thoughts. You will hear only from God's word. And even if you would like for us to come out and sit with you and study with you, we'll be glad to do that. You can leave that information on the voicemail, and when we get it, someone will get in contact with you to set up a meeting where we can sit together and look at God's word together. You know, if you're enjoying our program, and if you like what you're hearing, like the fact that we are only letting God's word speak, I tell you, if you were to sign up for that free Bible correspondence course, you would be benefited 10 times more than hearing this broadcast every week on Sunday. You need to get into a habit of studying God's word daily. Why? Because you have to grow spiritually. We have to prepare for the life after this life, and that is our eternal life. With the Bible correspondence course in your hand, in the privacy of your home, you can study anytime that is convenient for you throughout the week, throughout the day, anytime it's available. It's probably best to do it when you are at your best, instead of at times when you're sleepy or super tired, because you want to learn what our loving Creator desires of us. You want to learn how we are to put our lives together the way He directs it. The blessing from this approach is beyond measure. It will give us an advantage on most people around us, in that our guidance comes from God, who made us and obviously knows what is best for us. So why not begin to let God make a difference in your life? We don't know anything. He knows everything. So let's break the mold the world has us in and let the divine Creator remake us in His likeness. So go ahead and enroll now in that Bible course, 843-553-5157. Again, that number is 843-553-5157, as we continue to let the Bible speak.
This is our last segment, so we encourage you, go ahead, call in right now. This is our last segment. If you have a question, don't waste any more time. Call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. Ricky?
Yeah, we have Nathan calling back and wanting more clarity on his question about the part of us that will be going to heaven. Nathan, when God created man in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we were created in his image. That part of deity that was put in man that will live forever is that which will go to be with him forever. Now, this body is made of dirt. We are made, we feed it dirt every day, that is in the form of food and vegetables and meat and such. And so this thing, this body that we can reach out and touch and we look at in the mirror, that is not what we will be going to heaven in. And so that part which God gives is the part which will live for eternity. And so there's several words that are used, spirit and soul. Many times they are not used consistently. Some have defined one as the animation of the body or the life that is in the body or makes it animated. And those actually sometimes called spirit, sometimes it's called soul. So I can't delineate or itemize exactly how that is going to be. All I know is that part which will live forever is that which will be going to heaven. And so I have to leave it there. And as in 1 Corinthians 15, it calls it an incorruptible body. And so that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, 55, 56. So the incorruptible part which God has given, which makes us different than the animal world, is that which will live forever. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Nathan. We do want you to be mindful of all of you that are interested in the Bible Correspondence Course. You can enroll in this without hesitation. At any moment, you can call 553-5157. We're glad to send it to you free of charge. 553-5157. Chuck, you have the next question.
Yeah, got to answer a question real quick. This person is asking, is there anywhere in the Bible where people are called Pope? No. I know there's a religious organization that uses the name Pope or uses the word or title Pope. That is nowhere found in the scriptures. The name, word, or title Pope is nowhere found in the scriptures. That is not of God. That is man-made. So that's the answer to that question. Then we have Leon asking this question. When we mention the days of the week with the specific names, are we sinning calling it by name as far as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? So the word Monday, you know, that's you don't worship the moon on Monday. You don't worship the sun on Sunday. You don't worship the god of Saturn on Saturday. Those are names given on the days of the week. But as long as you are not worshiping those gods, and the day of the week is just for you to call it the day of the week, that is that's not a sin. And there's a couple of verses to show that. Colossians 2, verse 16 says, therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink, or in regard to any festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So, like, naming days special days, that doesn't have to mean anything. If it doesn't mean anything to you, then it doesn't mean anything to you. Also, Romans chapter 14, verses 5 through 6. One person esteems one day another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So, if you are fully convinced that those words don't mean what they meant to other people in past years, and to you, it's just the name of the day of the week, will you be fully convinced in your own mind? So that's what Romans 14, 5 says. So once again, Romans 14, 5 and verse 6 also applies there. So Romans 14, 5 and 6 and Colossians 2, verse 16.
And again, we want to encourage everyone. We're about to run out of time, but you still have time to call 553-5157 for the course to be sent to you. Two quick questions from Thomas. Thank you, Thomas. We sure appreciate your questions. Ash Wednesday, is that in the Bible? No, there's no such thing as that in the Bible. Number two, if you attend a church where women are pastors, are you in trouble, or is that a problem? Is there something in the Bible about that? Well, there is something in the Bible about pastors, but it's not women. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 They're called bishops at this place. They're called pastors and overseers. They're called presbyters. And it says that they are to be the husband of one wife. If a woman is not even claiming to be a pastor but teaching over a man, well, then they're violating 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. So it's a matter of just letting God's word speak. And so if you're part of that and you are condoning it or having fellowship with it, well, then you are also in joining with that and condoning. You've got another question?
Yeah, real quick. Irvin asked about other people in the Bible named Jesus. In Acts 13, verse 6, there is someone, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 11, there's someone named Jesus who was called Justice. But he was asking in terms of who he's praying to. Well, if you're praying to Jesus Christ, you're praying to Jesus Christ. There's only one Jesus Christ. The other people had first names of Jesus, but there is only one Jesus Christ. And so we are at the end of our broadcast here. And so we are going to go ahead.
All right, guys, that's it for us today. Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. That's why it's so important that we let the Bible speak.